R.H. Hastings would be a well-known and often quoted author. He would make a statement that should burn in the heart of every Christian. Every individual that tries to draw that fine line, Brother Charlie, between what is right and what is wrong. He would pen, and I quote, "It is the burdens of today that drive men mad." It isn't the burdens that drive men mad. Rather, it is the regret over yesterday.
Come on.
Or the fear of tomorrow's failures and shortcomings. Regret and fear are two twin thieves.
Yes, they are.
Who you entertain so often that rob you unaware. Our lives are lived one moment at a time.
Right.
One day at a time. Sometimes in a place of pride. Sometimes in a place of winning. Sometimes in a place of regret. But our lives are made up of moments. Seminal moments, if we could, where God would give you a foreseen end of where you are, but where He is trying to bring you to. The Bible talks about, and He gives in it an expected end.
Right.
I know I'm going slow on a Sunday night, but I need to lay some groundwork for a moment. Life is far too short for us to live with the regret of what I should have done and what I should have changed. To the child of God, we're not living just day by day. We are living with the anticipation that what I am doing right now is going to have the lasting effect years from now. We don't just come and run to a place of repentance because it feels good to repent. We are trying to develop a spiritual man so that we can get over the attitude that I should have done something. Or if only I would have been in this position before there was issues.
Come on.
My friend, you better beware of the victim mentality. That everything happens to me because I deserve what I have done. The victim mentality, Sister Riley, right, would come in and it begins to strip things away because I live in a place of such regret that I can't even see the expected end now. 2024 does not have to be the anthem for 25. I believe this church can grow. I believe financially God can pour out blessings, and I believe that God can do the miraculous, and I believe in miracles. I believe in deliverances. But God won't do anything until we properly position ourselves for Him to be able to work again. Well, hallelujah, here we go. It's that victim mentality where you can't deal with the past, so you allow it to be the dream killer of tomorrow. There's ministry sitting in this house tonight that things happened, things failed, and now it has caused your firm footing to slip.
Uh-oh. Talk to us.
Because we look at the prosperity of somebody else that God is elevating, and it causes issues internally, mentally, and emotionally. And I allow it to cause me to compare myself to other people within the church. That victim mentality will kill the dream of anybody, no matter if you have the right last name or whether you're the greatest preacher in the world. The victim mentality will cause you to be stripped away of anything that is productive for Him. That victim, I feel just to stay here for a moment. That victim mentality causes us to determine whether I want to pray through or I want to be the same that I've been for a long time.
Come on.
Sister Riley, when we stay in a victim mentality, it's okay to entertain things because it feels good to entertain them. And that victim mentality, sis, it allows us to be swooed away with the soothsaying tongue of the enemy. And that enemy is nothing more than the individual, Brother Carson, that looks right back at you square in the eye in the mirror. Brother CJ, whether you like what is looking back at you or not is not the fault of anybody else. It's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship. And you make up in your mind automatically, Brother Neil, I can be something for God or I'm not enough for God. It's the victim mentality that kills the dream and the desire that, God, I used to have a passion to do great things for you, but now that I have slipped and now that I have fallen, I have become on my own countenance a pew warmer. Let me just push the plow a little bit more in the dirt. Y'all hang out with me. Is this okay?
No.
And so as a victim, we fall out of love with doctrinal stances. And we start looking for avenues of fulfillment, elder, that automatically strip the dream from our mind.
Come on.
Brother Main, I had a desire to become something for God. Then why are you not doing it?
Come on.
What happened that caused you to question whether you were enough for God or not? Mm. What happened? See, that's things that nobody wants to answer, and that's the dark places of the heart. That's the room that nobody wants that key to open up and say, God, I am exposing to you what I entertain in the dark. And it's that dream that it lies on the tip of our tongue, but we will never talk about it. It's the dream killer. It's the passion that we used to have. That is now gone.
Come on.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do.
One thing.
It's not complicated, elder. It's not complicated by no means. This one thing I am doing, I'm going to forget the things which are past. I'm going to look forward and I am going to grow in God because I desire to grow in God.
Come on.
The dream killer is when it strips you of your desire to become something for God, because it's hard to become something for God when you're entertaining things that are not of God.
Come on.
Oh, I wish I could just talk to a church for a moment. And so it's the pulling away. It's that gradual place where we say little bit by little bit, it don't matter until the end result was not the end that you expected.
That's truth. Come on.
And so, sis, what if tonight we usher in a mentality again that I am His child? Because if we have the ownership of saying, that's my daddy, I am His child, I am an heir to the kingdom, then there is a little bit of faith that gets instituted in the mind and in the heart of somebody that says, I can become more than what I am right now. The dream killer swoops in and has said, well, there's things that's happened. There's things that's went on that was not right. There's things that's happened to people in this house that it wasn't even your fault, but you'll take the brunt of the responsibility to try to make it easier on everybody else. And whenever everything comes to light, it matters if you have been faithful or whether you have just been getting by the skin of your teeth.
Come on.
There is an elder that told me and Molly is going through one of the hardest times. And he said, son, don't you ever forget time has a funny way of telling the truth. And I didn't really understand that, because at that time, what we was going through, it was okay for me to allow my attitude to dictate my response. I need somebody to hear me tonight. I prayed over this afternoon, and I said, God, I said, it's communion night. I really don't want to preach what I'm feeling right now. But my friend, it's a starting over. It's a growing process, and the growing process sometimes is more painful than the dying out process. Because the things which you would have done, you shouldn't have done, and now it is an anthem. And that anthem becomes your song in the night. Paul had all the qualities, the pedigree, the education that any preacher could ever want. But in spite of all his success, he was a failure in the eyes of everybody else around him because of the persecution that he fell in love with. I am doing a good work. But the beautiful part about this is that there was a point in a time when he understood, God, I cannot do this alone. I'm sorry.
Come on.
And it's the dream killer that creeps into our mind that says it's okay to do the same thing you've always done, get the results that you've always got, and stay the same that you have always been.
Yes.
I need you young men and you young ladies to plug in with me for a moment. I know y'all are taking notes, but I need you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. If there is ever a place of failure, don't run from God. Listen to me, please. Paul was reaching forward because he knew how far he failed. I need you young folks to stay with me for a moment. If I'm not preaching to anybody else but Tim Main right now, I need you young folks to listen to me. Jesus Christ is not only the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. My friend, he is the God of your failures as well. He is the God that knows where you are tonight.
Amen.
You're not too far from God tonight for him to be able to touch you and give you that passion, the dreams again, Brother Charlie, Brother CJ. We're not too far from God for him to reach out. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know why this troubles me so bad? It's because there's little things that become the dream killers that gets our attention, Brother Colton. And if it can get the attention of the one that is cutting the...
Come on.
And if it can get the attention of the one that has his hands on the plow, there's never a way to cut a straight line when you're looking away.
Come on.
Oh, God, here we go.
Come on.
Having put his hand to the plow and looking backwards. I wish I would have done things different. If only I could go back and change things. Well, sweetheart, you can't change nothing. You can't go into the past and you can't do anything about it. The only thing you can do about it is what Paul did. Lord! Talk to me. Here I am, flat on my back. And now... I need you to change my life. Every hand in this building just a moment ago went up like a rocket when I said, how many of you feel like, or how many of you know God is able to forgive? Poof! Hands went up all over the building. Now I'm going to ask you square into your face and look you in the eye, and I'm going to ask you, then why are you not able to forgive yourself?
Come on.
There ain't an issue with your church. You want to know what the issue with the church is? It's you.
Come on.
It's that you've allowed your dream to die because we wouldn't take our own accountability because we're too busy doing everything else. Our attention ain't on cutting a straight line no more.
Come on.
It's a dream killer, my friend, that begins to get in your mind. And if it can get in your mind and if it can infiltrate your heart, the spirit of loneliness can cause you to miss God.
Come on.
Ooh, God help me right now. I feel the Holy Ghost talking. Would you lift your hands for a moment? Come on,
thank
church.
You, Jesus.
God. Talk to him.
Lovely Savior, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. God. I need you, Jesus. I need you. I need you, Savior. Lord, I love you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Ooh, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. God, I love you, Jesus. Wonderful Savior, mighty God.
I feel to do this tonight. I need two people to help me right now. Come on, Brother Charlie. Come on, Brother Colton. I'll use y'all. I don't like either one of y'all, so I'll use y'all. See, I don't like them. I love them. Okay, this is going to sound silly. Y'all ready? You like Brother Colton?
I love you.
Woo! You like Brother Charlie? Golly, y'all's too sappy for me. You know it's a crying shame in the church when we wait on everybody else to do everything.
Come on.
And then we get a bad attitude because we wasn't involved when the door was open for us to get involved.
Come on.
But we're not holding a plow straight anymore. And so I'm preaching to a church that I believe in tonight.
Come on.
And I'm not going to put any sugar on what I'm about to say. And I hope it's okay. I hope I get invited back after this. Okay.
Come on.
And well, I got to bring a scissor lift. So I'm coming regardless if I'm invited or not. Praise the Lord.
Come on.
It's easy to cut crooked lines when I'm fooling around with what feels good for the moment.
Come on.
And I fall in love with saying I want to be a part, but I don't want the part.
Come on.
Hold on. Y'all's not hearing me yet. Is it awkward standing up here and everybody staring at you? Amen. Woo! Hey, I'm telling you, it's time to get involved in your church.
Come on.
Because beyond popular belief, I'm going to say this. This isn't just Pastor Crosswhite's church.
Come on.
This is God's church. And it matters whether the dream is alive or the dream is dead.
Come on.
I don't believe that revival in Nacogdoches is over.
Come on.
But I do believe that some of your passions need to be renewed so you can fall back in love with the dream of revival.
Yeah.
It's easy to come to church. It's easy to look the part.
Come on.
But it's a whole lot easier to say, well, Pastor, I'm not going to be there tonight. I did this to my mom the other day. My mom just came from Kentucky. Y'all think I'm crazy for saying it, but I love church.
Come on.
Church is not a duty to me.
Come on.
You don't know how far I was.
Come on.
You don't know how lost I was.
Come on.
My mom called me on Tuesday and said, Timmy, I'm in town. I'm at Angie's house. I'm planning on coming to your house. And I said, y'all can call my mama and ask her. I said, there's lunch meat in the refrigerator. We'll be home after church.
There you Come on.
I did it. I done it, brother. My mom said, do what? I said, we got church. And I said, you want to go with me? She said, no. I said, all right, I'll see you at my house afterwards then.
Come on.
It's a dream killer when you start entertaining things because it's comfortable to entertain.
Come on.
I have felt a preacher for about a week now.
Come on.
That the dream is easy to kill, but it's hard to revive when it's lifeless. And I'm walking around and I'm feeling the Lord talking to me about people tonight, that it's become easy to entertain the thought of doing something for God, but it's hard to put action behind the thought.
Come on.
Here you go. And that's why I got to grab this pew and move it over for me, please. Because y'all, not you. Come on. Here, me and you, we're jee-hawing for a minute, brother. Oh, hey, whoa, watch out. Hey, he owes y'all a new altar. My goodness. I didn't know he was strong like that. Y'all ready? When there is two oxen that are yoked together, y'all put y'all's arms around one another. When there's two oxen that are yoked together,
come on.
It's intended for them to pull together.
Come on.
Pastor Crosswhite, I hope I can just have my liberty and preach what I feel for a moment. It is intended for them to achieve the goal of plowing up the hard ground.
Come on.
The spirit of accountability better be restored back into this house.
Amen.
Hold on. I'm not talking about the spirit of judgment.
Come on.
You know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of the spirit of offense whenever we say, where have you been? That is the accountability that we have to have. But we get offended and because we say, well, they're judging us, and we allow it to kill our dream of becoming something for God because the internal braces was never built, so you get your feelings hurt off the small things.
Come on.
Here in a moment, we're going to have communion. We're going to have foot washing. And it matters what you have dealt in your heart about one another.
Come on.
Do you know why Jesus stopped? And I know he'll cover. Do you know why Jesus stopped? And he said, no. Hey, I'm going to wash your feet. And he answered back and said, no, Lord. And the Lord then answered and said, then you are none of mine. The spirit of accountability has to get restored back into this church.
Amen.
Because there's too many outside voices trying to infiltrate the mind of the church.
Amen. Come on.
I'm not worried about y'all going charismatic. I'm not worried about the doctrine you preach. What I'm worried about is what you are entertaining from the outside that is infiltrating inside.
Come on.
I've been here for the last 2 weeks, and some of you, we get moved to the beat of a drum, but we don't get moved to doctrine anymore.
Come on.
So the oxen are yoked together. It's a double yoke. It's a double yoke. This is the scariest part of the church. Y'all ready? How many of you want God to use you? Raise your hand. Don't be scared, please. Like y'all hang out with me. Just think of this as a Q&A session right now. How many of you want God to use you? Or how many of you have a passion to do something for God? Everybody here does. Now I want you to pay attention. Y'all come over here. Start over by that young man and walk toward me. Watch what happens. There is nobody in this church that is more important than anybody else. And that is the spirit of the dream killer. Throw Joseph in the pit because he feels his brothers felt like he was better than thee.
Come on.
It wasn't because Joseph was special. It's because their attitude was wrong toward his vision.
There you go.
Brother Butler got up a while ago. And he shared his passion for the children's ministry. We got 2 buses running. We need 4 buses right now.
That's right.
And when he said we got to have drivers, you could cut the awkwardness.
Come on.
You could cut the awkwardness with a butter knife.
Come on.
Because we want the results, but we don't want the relationship.
That's right. Come on.
Hold on. We want the accolade and the praise, but we don't want the marrying of the dream.
Come on.
We'll pat them on the back. Hey, y'all gave it a good go. Y'all gave it a good go. It would have been successful if y'all would have. Why didn't you speak up back then? Why didn't you share your vision back then?
Come on.
You waited until it was too late. Some of y'all are so guilty and you know it right now. Some of y'all, I don't know if it's a nervous laugh or if it's a let's get this thing over. I want to wash somebody's feet right now laugh. I've never met anybody that wants to wash somebody's feet right now. Y'all ready? Is everybody paying attention? Are you quit texting on your cell phone and listen to me?
Come on.
Slowly walk toward me. Y'all see this? When there is a place where one of the oxen quit pulling. Come on, Charlie. Keep going. Then there is a breaking of the neck of the one that quit pulling. Go. And guess what happens? That yoke becomes too heavy. And that oxen just walks in a circle. And that oxen, it ends up dying because the other one quit pulling its weight.
Come on.
It's the dream killer. Because we're going to let Brother Charlie walk in a circle by himself and die, aren't we? Keep doing it. Keep doing it, Charlie. Does this not convict? No, you're already dead, Colton. You gave up a long time ago, Bubba.
There you go. Come on.
And then there becomes the realigning of the vision and they can walk straight again.
Come on.
It's the passion and the desire that we have to develop. You got to quit waiting on ministry to do everything.
Come on.
You got to quit waiting for somebody in position to ask you to help. Get a passion for the things of God.
Yes.
Again, because if we're willing to sit back and watch one person die, we've missed it. God, I didn't want to preach like this tonight.
Come on.
But Brother Butler, it is a whole lot easier for you and I to pick up a heavy altar and move it when there's other hands helping.
That's right.
Our dreams die when we quit working toward the outcome that we desire. Seriously. When's the last time you turned off the phone? You turned off your computer? You turned off your television? And you shut things? You shut the book? And I'm not talking about at church. I'm talking about at home.
Come on.
And you said, God, I'm not going to church tonight to repent. I'm going to church tonight so you can use me. I want to prepare right now.
Come on.
It's the dream killer where we waste time. We waste time living for God. The elder what read the scripture a few moments ago. Silver and gold have I none. And we miss it. We miss it. But such as I have, Mama, we can't give anybody anything if we have no stock.
Come on.
It's the dream killer. I know I am going so slow tonight. But I'm trying to save somebody from walking out of this church because you feel like there's issues in this church. Quit looking for other avenues of fulfillment when you are looking back. Because the issues that you have right now, you're going to bring them to the other church that you want to go to.
Come on.
And if we're not willing to save people that believe in us right now and link up with one another, how in the world do you feel like you're going to be able to survive somewhere else?
Come on.
Brother Crosswhite, I'm sorry if I'm in left field right now, but I have felt this for the last week. And it says you are not fit for the kingdom of God. It's a sorrowful place. The salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? And watch what rest of the scripture says. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. For men cast it out. I believe it is high time for us to put life back on our dreams.
Amen.
I think it's time for us as men, to start allowing our voice to be so lifted up in prayer that there is literally the feeling of a shaking.
Amen.
That's the issue with churches today, is we become lady-led in worship and in prayer. And we lose our passion and dreams, men, because we feel less than what we was intended to become, because the ladies have led.
Come on.
You know, oh God. Hang out with me. Hold on. Give me 5 more minutes, please.
Come on.
Jesus would look at it. You want to know why there's problems in the home?
Come on.
It's because we have quit praying.
Come on.
Yes.
If I want my marriage to work, if I want my children to work, if I want there to be peace in my home, if I want revival in my home, I have to learn as a man to be willing to defend what I've been quiet about.
Come on.
There is power. There's something changes. And I'm preaching to the men. I'm not preaching to the ladies right now. Ladies will say something in a moment. But men, there has to be the development of passion again. As a little boy, Pastor Crosswhite, and I'm closing, Sister Crosswhite, if you want to help me. I will never forget laying under pews and hearing the wail of men in intercessory prayer.
That's right.
Intercessory prayer is not a woman's job.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Brother Neil, when is the last, don't answer this, when is the last time we have got so lost in the Holy Ghost that all we could do is all we could do is utter what was coming out. Oh God. In a place of intercessory prayer. Men, we're letting one another die because the yoke is heavy. So I get burnt out coming to church too much. I want to work a little more overtime. I want to try to provide more, all the while spiritually your dreams are dead.
Come on.
Literally, what would you do, Brother Colton, if God showed up right in front of you? And I hope you and I are friends enough where I can say this. And it's not reflecting toward you. This is for the church. I need everybody to hear me. But if God showed up before you right now, I said, why did you let the dream die? You. He looked him dead in the face and said, thou art the man. Y'all don't think we serve a personal God? You better open that scripture and you better read it again.
Come on.
I want relationship. Where I can dream again, Brother Butler. I'm tired of just coming to church. And that's all it is church. We'll run the aisles, we'll shout, we'll dance. And there's a time and a place for that. But when's the last time you dreamed?
Come on.
I'm not talking about laying your head on the pillow last night. When's the last time you dreamed in God?
Come on.
Or has living for God become so mundane that you put on your pretty dress, you put on your nice clothes, you come to church and you're ready to leave as soon as you get here?
Oh my.
It's the dream killer. You know what I felt a while ago? There's such an excitement that's being produced. In February, we're going to Tuesdays. And some of y'all are upset that it's going to Tuesdays. That was the night I got to check the Monday night football scores.
Oh my.
No, I'm joking. Some of y'all's nervous. Jesus, help us. Mama, how old are you? How long you been in church? Do you remember what I'm talking about? The prayer meetings where revivals were birthed out of the love of the dream. I remember, and I'll never forget it, and I'm done. Sister Savala, I'll never forget this. As a young man, I was struggling with really finding my identity of who I could be in God, Brother Trent. As a drug head, my life was an utter mess. I had no desire to be a preacher. Today, you'll never hear me say that I'm a good preacher. I just don't want to be such a silver-tongued orator that I miss the necessity of the soul.
Come on.
There was an elder lady in my home church. At that time, I was 20 years old. Sis, I'll admit it, I was struggling to live for God. She walked up to me and she said, Timmy, she's known me all my life. She said, Timmy, she said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I will never be enough to be what others are. She looked back at me, Mom. And she said, you get a dream in your heart and you chase that dream. And she said, the day you quit dreaming is the day you die. She took me by the hand. And she said, I'm going to show you how to dream again. You know what she done, Pastor Crosswhite? As a young man, I don't know if y'all preach against this or not. You follow your pastor if he preaches something different. Amen?
Amen.
That elder lady took this young man by the hand and said, I want you to learn to pray. You know what the issue is, and you'll know why I quit dreaming? It's because I quit praying.
Come on.
I want to make one statement, and then I'm going to have you stand, and we're all going to lift our hands. We're all going to prepare ourselves for the next moment. You better be mightily careful that you quit desiring to be powerful before you're spiritual. I need y'all to hear me. We're not running the aisles, and I'm not trying to give you a fluffy message right now. Sister Riley, it's easy to come to church, but it's hard to become something for God when we can't even see it no more. We want positions. We want to feel included in the church. But we quit dreaming. I'm talking to middle-aged people. I'm talking to couples.
Come on.
I'm talking to elders tonight. If there was ever a time that this church is prime for revival, it is right now.
Amen.
But the revival will only have life as much life that is in the church.
Come on.
Brother Colton, nobody will get excited about the church if you're not excited about the church.
Come on.
The dream killer swoops in, Brother Neil, and it convinces us we don't have a last name, so God can't use us. There's people that are far beyond where I am, and I should be further than where I'm at right now.
Come on.
I feel the Holy Ghost trying to heal right now. If He is truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then you have to understand He is a God of your failures. He is a God of your should haves. And He is still the God of your dreams.
Amen.
Can we be transparent right now?
Come on.
Is this okay? I hope on a Sunday night this is okay.
Amen.
If tonight you came to the altar in a moment, you lifted your hands for a few minutes, and God would renew your passion to do something for Him, would you do it? If you knew God would meet you here, would you do it?
Come on, amen.
Yeah. Would you stand with me? Catherine Mansfield was a well-known author in New Zealand. Please, everybody listen to me, please. Catherine Mansfield wrote, "Regret is an appalling waste of energy because you can't build on it. It is only good for wallowing in."
Come on.
By the show of hand tonight, how many of you have regrets? Now, how many of you serve a just God? Why don't you respond to Him the way you feel right now? Come on, men. Come on, men. It's the dream killer. The dream killer. Come on, church. That's it. There's old folks with tears streaming down their face. Come on, there's young folks praying. Come on, pray one more time. Search your heart.
I want to see. me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place.
Instead of just looking around right now, I wonder, men, if you could lift your voice as much as you could right now. Ladies, I wish you could really lift your voice in prayer. Oh, God, I yield to you right now. That's it. God, renew the dream. God, renew the passion. God, renew everything in me right now. I refuse to let the dream killer come in. God, I want that place of prayer. God, I want that place of relationship. Come on, ladies, lift your voice. Get lost in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I surrender myself tonight, God. Holy, holy, holy. I reserve nothing, God. Come on, brothers, if you feel to go to another brother, you pray for them the way you desired for them to pray for you. Come on, if there was ever a time where there should be a shaking of voices, it's right now. Come on, ladies, you should be able to have confidence in one another. Come on, we're going to push in prayer. We're not going to let our dream die. Come on, that's it. Accountability. Come on, that's it. I wish every man in this building would link up with another man. Come on, young men, pray while you got passion. Come on, young ladies, pray with passion. Come on. the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, men, lift your voice. Please. Come on, men. Come on, men. I'm challenging you to pray like you haven't prayed in a while. Come on. At the beginning of 25. Come on. In the name of Jesus. God, I want my passion back. God, I want to learn how to pray again. God, I'm not going to let the dream killer strip us away. Come on, men, that's it. Come on, there's something changing right now. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies, pray. Pray. Come on, ladies, why don't you link up with one another? Why don't we make this a prayer room right now?
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Just another couple minutes if we can. Come on, we're laying before the Lord right now. Come on, we're petitioning the things of the Lord right now. Come on, there ain't no pomp and circumstance. It's only the desire of relationship. It's a desire, God, renew my dream. Yes. Passion, Holy Ghost. Come on, that's it, young men. Come on, all you young men, pray tonight. Hey, yes. Come on, that's it. Get lost in the Holy Ghost. Come on, I wonder if you ladies could get together. Come on, just like the men are. Come on, one of you ladies begin to stand up and get you a group of ladies together. Come on, a group of ladies. Come on, that's it. Nobody alone right now. Come on, and you pray with passion. You pray with life. You pray like it's a joyous thing. Come on, ladies. Come on, y'all, go join them. That's it. Come on, men. Come on, men. Don't stop praying yet. Come on, there's a breaking right now. Come on, ladies, pray. Come on, get lost in the Holy Ghost. Yes, yes, yes. God, we're done playing around.
Go pray with them other young boys. Come on. Come on. Go pray with them. Go.
Come on, ladies, get lost in the Holy Ghost right here. Come on, this is where there's a newness of life. Come on, this is where God heals things. Come on, if you got something against somebody else, come on, now's a fine time to fix it. Come on, church. Come on, young men, I'm begging you right now, don't stop. Don't stop yet. Yes. Come on, you elder men, y'all join them young men. Come on, don't just watch them. Come on, don't just watch them, elders. Go pray with them. Pray with them young men. Lift your voice. Let them hear you pray, elder. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies, that's it.
I'm going to say this, and I want you five to hear me. Y'all know how to pray. Y'all know what it is to pray. I wonder if y'all would go over there and rally with some of the other girls in the club, and y'all create a spirit of prayer. Come on, get everybody together. Yes, God.
Come on, that's it. Come on, Apostolic Lighthouse. We're going to watch God change some things. Come on, ladies. Come on, y'all get together.
Come on, Sister Krista. Create that circle for here tonight. Come on, go. Go. Come on, ladies. That's it, elders. That's it, elders. Get lost in right now. God, I need you.
If y'all need to sit down, you sit down.
Come on, y'all keep praying. If you need to sit down,
you young ladies, pray. That's it. That's it. That's it. Come on, men. I'm not going to let my dream die right here. I'm not going to let my dream die right here. Come on, Apostolic Lighthouse. Come on, this is where revival's birth. Come on, this is where passion's birth. Come on, this is where God changes things. Creating me a clean heart. Renewing me a right spirit. Come on, men. for the next few moments. Come on, men. Come on. Let your voice be loud. In the name of Jesus. That's it, ladies. Lift your voice. Come on, the Holy Ghost is taking over. Come on. That's it. That's it. That's it. Passion. Passion. Passion.
Yes, 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 yes. Raka. Elaboshia nanabake. I need you, Jesus. That's it, people. Come on, passion, passion, passion. Passion, passion, God. Come on.
Hallelujah. Are you thankful and grateful for the Spirit of the Lord tonight? Hallelujah. 2024 was one of the hardest years I've ever had as a pastor. We've been pastoring now for 33, Katie's age, 28 here, hardest year ever. And ministers meeting this morning, we made the statement that we've hit a lot of hard rocks. A lot of hard rocks. The plows hit rocks that stopped us, jarred us, frustrated us, to where it's been difficult in every direction. But we've held on to the plow. And here we are. And I feel that God is ready. Some of these rocks we had to bust right through. Some we had to pull out. But I'm thankful that God has given us the opportunity today to go forward and hold on to the things of God and plow that field and plant that seed and let the grace and the goodness of the Lord operate. Amen. I feel victory tonight in Jesus. Amen. We've just baptized Rhett in the name of Jesus Christ. I've asked Brother Butler to baptize his own son. Amen. We want you to come forward and I want you to celebrate with Rhett. Amen. Won't the family come first? Sister Butler, where you at? Amen. Family come first. Amen. If somebody would capture the picture of this tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. We're so blessed tonight for the power of the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The water's a little cold. Amen. But we're going to trust God tonight. Amen. Would you pray with us right now? Amen. Let's pray with Rhett. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Thank you for your blood, your grace, your name. Bless and fulfill Rhett. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for the grace and the goodness of the Lord through his obedience of faith. We trust you, Jesus. By the power of the blood and the word, in Jesus' name, fill him and fulfill his life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Rhett, by the profession of your faith, we're baptizing you tonight. So Rhett, Alan Butler, we're fixing to baptize you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.
Hallelujah, God. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And I need our ministry team. Would you go and let's prepare for the ladies. What they're going to do is get the water ready in the impact room. And they'll go ahead and get the ladies first. Then they'll bring ours after they get the ladies. Amen. So if our ministry team would do that. And if you young men want to help us out, you can. To be toting some water to the ladies, to the impact room, and in here. The men will be washing feet over here. And while they're doing that, I want to share with you the whole purpose. Brother Main kindly mentioned it a while ago, but I want to share with you the purpose of what we call foot washing. And Remember the Passover supper. When they ate the Passover that day with Jesus, and it was ended. The Bible says in John, the 13th chapter, verses 4 and verse 5, it says, Jesus rose from supper and laid aside his garments, in other words, his outer garments, and he took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Jesus then, on a little bit further, said, if then your Lord and Master hath washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. The first example was given by our Lord Jesus, making it an illustration, making it a divine instruction, and what we would call a divine institution. And he said, do it. You ought to do it. A lot of people look at this as being an option here. They look at it as being maybe a suggestive deal. But the language of the word of the Lord begins to say, the Lord said, you ought to do it. Does it mean that, well, there's an option here? But he instituted something stronger than that. He said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done. If you was a lawyer, you was in court, and you was needing evidence, that second portion right there will give you sufficient evidence that washing each other's feet is important, because it puts us in a place that there's no big eyes and little U's. It makes us to the place that we're just nothing and nobodies. By the grace of God, we're here. Then cometh Simon Peter. Peter said to him, Lord, you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I'm thankful today for the word of the Lord. Amen. That we could humble ourselves. The lowest servant in the house was the one that would go get the water basin and wash the guest's feet that came in. It was not a high lifting job. It was something of humility. And Jesus said, I want you to be the least. That way you can remember that I died for you at your lowest, and I'll be there with you at your greatest. But remember that your brother, your sister, also has been washed in the blood. And we are to serve each other. We're here for each other, for his glory and for his honor. I want you to lift your hands, and I want you to thank the Lord that he has set that example before us. There's no big eyes. There's just little. He died for you and I the same. He died for everyone in this building. Even he didn't make somebody greater than another. He made us all his people. You are important to the Lord. You matter to God. And I praise you today, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your beauty. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your purpose, Lord. The goodness of who you are, what you've done for me, Jesus. We give you honor. We give you praise this night. We love and we worship you, Jesus. Thank you for Calvary, but thank you for the resurrection. And thank you for the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Not only did they wash, they dried their feet. Amen. We're not going to leave our brothers hanging, sisters hanging. Amen. But we're going to make a complete honor to them. Praise God. Sister Crosswhite, would you lead our ladies? And what we do when you wash a person's feet, you're there and you wash their feet, pray over them, pray for them, and pray for the person that's washing your feet at the same time. Lay your hand on their shoulders, ask God to guide their footsteps, guide their life, heal their life, minister to their life. Pray for them. And then when you're done, when they are done washing your feet, drying your feet off, it's appropriate for you also to wash their feet. And if you want to wash somebody else's feet, you feel like you want to do that as well. Follow what you feel. And we're so thankful for the grace and the goodness of the Lord. Ladies, you may be dismissed at this time to the impact room. Amen. Have a season of prayer when you do this. And we're so, so grateful for the grace of God. Amen. Brother Maine, his sister probably had to get on the road. Amen. We appreciate Brother Maine following the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen.